Okay. We'll go and get everybody in, get started. I hope you have signed in. If you have not, please do that before you leave. Sign in to this class, one of those tables in the back. I know we're a little down tonight because of weather, and we are live streaming tonight. We do not plan to do that normally, but we're doing it tonight because we recognize some people still struggling to get out of their neighborhoods. So welcome tonight to this Roots, I Am and I Will, session number one. And we're going to go and get started, and I'll try to get you out of here at 7:30, so you've got time to get home before this next wave of snow gets in here. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way, the truth, and the life. You have made a way for us to enter your kingdom. So tonight, as we open up this session in this series, I pray that your Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And that, Father, you'll give us a heart that will receive, believe, and obey what the Spirit reveals. So, Father, bless your church tonight and all these different classes that begin tonight. And, Lord, move among us in power and authority, doing your great work. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we begin a journey through a name, to reveal a name, and seven announcements. So this first session reveals the name. The next seven sessions reveal the announcement of identity that will fulfill the purpose of the name. And then the grand finale, the last four, will be four sessions from the book of Revelation where I am says I will. And you really want to know what the I am says I will do. You want to know that. I really need to go back before I can go forward. Back to the announcement of the name. What name? His name. God is having an encounter with Moses and calling Moses to be the deliverer of Israel from Egyptian bondage. So we're going to go back to Exodus to understand Jesus and why he could carry this name, I am. You've got to go back to Exodus, back to Moses. So here's where we're going to begin, Exodus 3:13. Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, now where is Israel? They've been in bondage in Egypt now for 400 years. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And Moses is standing at the burning bush getting these instructions. What should I tell them? What is your name? Verse 14, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name. Notice this context. This is my eternal forever. That would mean now, right? Forever. This is my eternal name. My name to remember for all generations is being revealed to Moses at the burning bush while Israel is in bondage and captivity in Egypt. His name. God revealed to Moses that he is the God of Moses' ancestors. It had been 400 years since the time of God's encounter with Abraham that began the nation called the children of Israel or the children of God. Now understand, that's a long time. That's generational. And now Moses is getting this information that I'm the God of your ancestors, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. I'm the God of them. You can forget a lot in 400 years. Think about America's history. 400 years. You might even forget his name. So let's go to Exodus 3:13. I'm going to repeat verse 13. But Moses protested. What's he protesting? That God is telling him to go to Egypt to set these people free. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Notice that everything in this context is dealing with what is your name? I need to know your name. Now he's talking to a bush that's on fire and yet not being consumed. And what's his question? I need to know your name. I won't be able to go and tell them that you sent me, that I'm a byproduct of ancestral heritage from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're going to want to know your name. It won't be enough to say, my great, 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 great grandfather was Abraham. Go to verse 14, 14 and 15. Again, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. So what do we conclude from this burning bush encounter between Moses and God? Two names. Did you notice? Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the eternal name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is revealed as Yahweh. But there's a second name that has also been revealed. I am. In fact, his first announcement of his name was, I am who I am. It is his eternal name for all generations. And it's important that we understand tonight the all generations part. His name does not discontinue when the Messiah comes. It's important. The I am came to Moses that day to tell Moses this. I am going to break the bondage of my people in Egypt. I am said, I am. And you had better believe I will when the I am says, I will. Now, one more thing before we can actually move forward tonight. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were about 400 years before the time of Moses. 400 years. So when Moses is getting this burning bush experience with God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham at least, is 400 years previous. How do we know that? Because we know they were 400 years in Egyptian bondage, okay? So it's more than 400 years counting the lifespan of Jacob and Isaac. The I am, so let's do something. Let's go back to the origin of Abraham. If he is the God of Abraham, let's go back to the God of Abraham time. When the I am to Abraham says, I will, before it happens. Before there are any children, Isaac or Jacob, before Egyptian bondage is ever imagined, I am said, I will. This is really important. Before it ever came to be. So let's go back 400 years before, 400 plus years before Moses. Genesis 15:13. Then the Lord said to Abram, his name would become Abraham, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. You can be sure your descendants. He doesn't have any descendants. I am, says I will. Your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. That'll be Egypt. Where they will be oppressed for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come out with great wealth. I am is saying I will about a time that Moses is going to fulfill. 400 plus years in the center of this two discussions. Now, do something. We've gone back to Abraham 400 plus years before Moses. Add another 1,500 years from the time of Moses and the deliverance of the Egyptian bondage, approximately 2,000 years from Abraham, and you will find our main scene tonight, the name. And the announcement of identity and purpose when God will, through the Messiah, begin to reveal to the world, here it comes, I am and I will. I am and I will. 2,000 years after Abraham. 1,500 years after the burning bush where God tells Moses his name is I am. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. But who is he really? That's what they wanted to know. When we open up the Gospel of John tonight, what they wanted to know is, who are you really? Your name is Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, but who are you really? John, the Apostle John, more than any other gospel, seems to focus on this issue. The name, number one, and the announcement of the identity and purpose of that name. You see, the people that Jesus is talking to in this scene, the Jews, were quite familiar with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before I read this from John chapter 8, you need to get something. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people that know very well the name of I Am. They know very well the name of Yahweh. They know, okay? They know. They've read the stories of Moses and the burning bush and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So the people he's talking to know these names, Yahweh, I Am. And they know who they're referred to. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the origin of the Jewish people. So here's the event that sets up the event. So let's go to John 8, 34. Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, Moses is a preview of Jesus. He's a shadow of Jesus. He's the deliverer that breaks the bondage. What's Jesus? He's the deliverer that breaks the bondage, right? So Moses is this preview, this shadow. So here we are, 1,500 years after the time of Moses, and Jesus looks at these guys and says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave. You're not a slave to Pharaoh in Egypt, but you're a slave to sin. And what's the problem with that? Well, it's verse 35. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. Do you understand that? A slave is not inside the family. He's connected to the family, but he's outside. He's not permanent. He's temporary. He can't draw from the family. He's temporarily assigned to the family. What's that got to do with a slave to sin? Listen carefully. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son, oh, that's different. A son is part of the family forever. He's an insider. He's connected permanently to the family. And he's using this slave and son analogy as a connection to sin and bondage. Now, here we go. So if the son, me, Jesus is talking, sets you free, that's when you'd be truly free. That's the only way you'll ever get permanent attachment to the Father and the family, which is what freedom looks like. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham. And yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father. Now, they might be thinking he's talking about Joseph, but you and I know he's not talking about Joseph, is he? but you are following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham. Now, you know who he's talking about when he says this? You're following the advice of your father. He's telling them you're following the advice of Satan. Just broaden out the context and you'll see it. It's in there. Our father's Abraham, they said. Now, Abraham, remember, Abraham's 2,000 years before these guys. Our father's Abraham, they declared. No. Jesus said, what? No. If you were really the children of Abraham, you'd follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father. Now, who's he talking about? Who's the real father? You're following Satan, the other father. That's why you're a slave and not a permanent member of the family. Y'all see it? That's why you're still a slave, because a slave has no position as permanence in the family. But the son, he's an insider. No, you are imitating your real father. They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. It is in this context that Jesus reveals his name. They had never heard him do it before. He's going to reveal his identity. And I can tell you, can you read it? They already don't like him. And you think they don't like him before? When he's calling them children of the devil? They're really not going to like him in a few minutes. Let's go down to verse 52. Same chapter. I'm just jumping down to verse 52. I'm trying to give you the context in which Jesus reveals his name. Verse 52, the people said, now we know you're possessed by a demon. I told you they didn't like him. Even Abraham, which was 2,000 years ago, and the prophets, they all died. But you, Jesus, you say anyone who obeys my teaching, you'll never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And now pause for a moment. They have no idea who he is. Just look at the question. Are you greater than Abraham? Yep. Yeah, he is. Are you greater than Abraham? He died. And so did the prophets. They all died. Here comes. Who do you think you are? Oh, I love it. Who do you think you are, Jesus? You think you're bigger than Abraham? Because I'm going to tell you, to the Jewish people in that day, you know who the stars were? Moses and Abraham. King David. They're rock stars. Right? They're the big guys. Are you think you're bigger than them? Really? Who do you think you are? Here it comes. Jesus, who do you think you are? Are you greater than these people who went ahead of you? This scene, what I'm about to read to you, I'm going to read to you every week for the next 7 weeks as the foundation to the revelation of the purpose of the name. They all go down to this right here. They all go down to this verse as the foundation. So what have they just said? Verse 53 ends with, who do you think you are? Well, I'll just tell you. Jesus answered, verse 54. If I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. You say, you Jewish people, you say, he's our God, but you don't even know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. That's not very seeker sensitive, is it? He just called them a liar. And by the way, he's already told them that their father's the devil. You know, the truth is what sets us free. But I do know him. Talking about his father, and I obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. Now he's telling this in a tense in which in their language is Jesus saying me and Abraham were together. Not that I read about him, not that I heard about him, that no, we were together. Let me read it again. Your father Abraham, now folks, that's 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, this guy Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to me coming and doing what I'm doing today. He saw it and he was glad. Jesus is setting it up. What? He's setting up an announcement. Your father, my father. Your father is Satan. My father is God, the Father. You claim to know my father, Yahweh, but you don't really know him at all. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing the day that I would say what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say. Are you ready? Because here it comes. Here's the foundation for the next 7 weeks. And it answers the question. And if you doubt the question, you'll see it in the answer. How did Jesus know Abraham 2,000 years ago? How is it possible that there's a man who has a personal relationship with a guy who died 2,000 years before? Right? So here, that's the issue. That's the issue, the context in which Jesus is going to reveal his name. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people said, Jesus, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Now, this is really important. Do you see how they heard his statement? How can you say you've seen Abraham? They're not accusing him of knowing about Abraham. They're accusing him, his language, of saying that he and Abraham experienced each other. How can you say you've seen Abraham? You're not 50 years old, and that's 2,000, so I know those numbers don't match up. So how can you say you've seen Abraham? And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is this one here, verse 58. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, unless you've read ahead, how do you think they're going to take this? Well, he's already called them liars and their daddy's Satan. Okay? He's already called them liars and your daddy's Satan. And before Abraham was even born 2,000 years ago, and yeah, I'm not 50. I am. At that point, verse 59, they picked up stones to throw at him. We got to kill this guy. Why? But Jesus was hidden from them and he left the temple. So here we go. Here's the first in the session. Jesus is I am. Jesus, a poor guy from Nazareth. Let's call him what he is. He's a poor guy from Nazareth. Rich Mullins sang a song a bunch of years ago, said we put all of our hope in a homeless man. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We put our entire eternal future in the hands of a homeless guy. A poor guy from Nazareth walking around with dirty feet is the burning bush I am. Yes. And if you're having a hard time with it, guess what? So did they. I just hope you don't grab any rocks and try to throw them. How could this man be the one who entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham 2,000 years ago? How is that even possible? You're not even 50 years old, they said. How can this man be the one who told Moses to deliver our ancestors from Egypt 1,500 years ago in a burning bush? How? How is that possible? They couldn't believe it then, and let's face it, let's be honest. Many people can't believe it now. In fact, I'll take it a step further. Most people cannot believe it now. They couldn't believe it, but you know what? They couldn't stop him. They picked up stones to stone him, but why couldn't? Was he dodging the stones? Well, how did he get out of the scene? You cannot stop him. In fact, I'm going to say something. I wasn't going to do this till later, but I just can't help it. You know why they couldn't throw stones at him and stop him in the temple? because of his name. I am. And if they hit him with a stone, he'd still be I am. And if they put him in the ground after they hit him with a stone, he's still I am. And just his name tells you all you need to know about him. No matter what you do to him, he's still I am, which means he's ever present. You cannot get rid of him. And his name declares his ever-present reality. And the reason they couldn't pick up a stone and knock him in the head with it is because his name is I am. And if you hit him with a rock, he's still I am. And nothing you can do to him or about him or around him changes his name. It's I am. If you're having trouble with the whole follow me part of Christianity, everybody listen carefully. If you're watching online, listen to me really carefully, because you're going to hear this a bunch in the next 7 weeks. If you're struggling with two words of Christianity that most people struggle with, follow me, there's only one answer, one reason. You do not know who he is. When you get it, when your light bulb goes off and you finally know, he's I am. He's I am. And I'm going to explain what that means in a broader context. Then the follow me part of Christianity totally changes. I'm amazed at how people then and now struggle with this issue of Jesus being I am. Well, let's be specific. You aren't even 50 years old. How in the world can you know Abraham personally? And how could you have seen Abraham when you're not 50 and he died 2,000 years ago? You think that's an old problem? That's a problem right now. Don't get me wrong. My human mind, listen, the whole concept of a Trinity, the whole concept of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, my brain comes near explosion when I really try to think that through. But my heart and my faith accept it fully. I'm way past that issue. I might have dealt with that a long time ago. I'm not dealing with that one anymore. You know what? Because I know who he is. He's I am. I find that people want to believe part of Jesus. They want to believe part of Jesus, but not the reality of Jesus, his true identity. After all, what did the prophets announce before? Why would these Jewish people in the Jerusalem temple be so surprised at his revelation of I am? Why? If they knew the Old Testament prophecy, they should have been expecting him, right? And let me prove it to you. If they, and they honored Isaiah's teaching, and they believed Isaiah was a prophet of God. Isaiah is about 750 years before Christ. Here's what Isaiah said about the future coming of, he didn't use the name I am. Instead, he uses the name Emmanuel. Can somebody tell me what theologically would be the difference between the two? Emmanuel means what? God is with us. What's I am? It's the name of God who encountered Moses. God is with us. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13. Two revealed truths from the prophet Isaiah in this text. Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? That you exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. All right, what's the sign? There's two of them. Well, the first sign is this. A virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. So how could a woman give birth to I am? A virgin woman will give birth to I am. A virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. Not God Junior, not God in miniaturized version. God is with us. God is with us. If that's not enough, the angel Gabriel repeats. The angel Gabriel quotes Isaiah when he comes to Joseph to convince Joseph, don't divorce Mary. Don't put her away quietly. Marry her. Okay? Here's what he said. As he considered this, Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay, not some man living in Nazareth. She hasn't been cheating on you. She's not an adulteress. The child inside of her was conceived by God. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill what? Isaiah's prophecy. Which, by the way, isn't Isaiah's prophecy. It's God's prophecy revealed through Isaiah. I need to be careful there. Verse 23, in the prophecy, just like I read in Isaiah 7:13, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So why would these Jewish people be shocked at the idea that there's a man standing there that's not 50 years old who knows Abraham? Didn't you read Isaiah? That Emmanuel was coming? There was going to be one come from a virgin, a man, and he would have the name God is with us. So we've got Isaiah, we've got the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph, and now you got this third character, the Apostle Paul. He encountered the I Am on the road to Damascus, and then he writes the church at Colossae, what we call the book of Colossians, and here's what he says about this person called Jesus. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Whoa. Every time I read that, it just makes me want to stop for a moment. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He is God wrapped in human flesh. He existed before anything was created. So these Jewish guys who are saying you aren't 50 years old, so how could you know a guy who's 2,000 years old? Jesus could have said, oh no, I'm way more than 2,000 years old. Way, 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 way more than 2,000 years old. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Not just is he this powerful force on the earth, but through him he created everything in the heavens. What? In the heavens and on the earth. He made, listen, if you understand, if you want a glimpse into the spiritual warfare we're fighting today, here it comes. He, Jesus, made the things we can see and the things you can't see. And here's an example of the things you can't see, such as thrones. What about Satan's throne? Such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Who's supreme over them? Jesus? Yes. Everything in heaven and on earth. Everything in heaven and on earth. Where does Satan fit? He has this authority, but he also has a leash. He cannot go further. There is a power greater than him, an authority over him. Everything was created through him. Do you think everything means everything? We've already identified it's in heaven and on earth. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together right now. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. And here comes verse 19. In case you struggled with it, you'll really be struggled with this one. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live inside of Christ. So why would you be offended when he says, my name is I Am? God was pleased in all of his fullness and all the glorious power of God that has no boundaries, no boundaries. He's limitless. And he puts that limitless person of himself inside of human flesh and subjected himself to death. And through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven. Notice again, in heaven and on earth, he's going to settle all the accounts. How? By means of blood. By means of the blood, Christ's blood on the cross. So we've talked about Isaiah's prophecy, Gabriel's announcement to Joseph, the Apostle Paul. We just did that one. What about the Apostle John? You see, all of these messages are saying in concert, who is this guy? Who are you? John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. What beginning? Creation itself. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what can we learn so far, just in that one sentence? There was a Word. How did God create the heavens and the earth? And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. So did he need dump trucks and backhoes and earth-moving equipment? Brought him in from another time? No, just he says it. So what would you call that language? You call that a word. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so it was with God. So there are in this form two, but then they become one. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With God and was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Who existed in the beginning with God? The Word. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Why can't the darkness extinguish the light? I've already let the cat out of the bag. Because of his name. I am. Because when it gets dark, does it change his name? No. Because when it's dark, you know what he'll just say in the darkness? I am. And nothing, including darkness, because one of the I ams is I am the light of the world, and the light shines in the darkness. And even though the dark gets darker, all he's got to do is say his name. I am. You can fight against him. In case you're in the room today, you can fight against him. Yeah, I guess it's possible, but you can't stop him. Been a whole lot of people try. Because his name is I Am. The light of the I Am shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish the I Am, because the I Am in itself, the name in itself, is ever present. Why such opposition in the middle of such truth, then and now? Why did a group of people hear him say, I Am, and why did they reach down and grab a rock? Okay, put that on the shelf for a moment and say, why today would people get in trouble for using the name Jesus in public school, in government, in all the facets of the gatekeepers of our world? Why is this name, Jesus, so controversial? Why would you pick up a rock to stone the I Am? I really hope I can drive this home. You using human reason, as much as we can possibly do it, there's only one answer. Why would people reject the I Am? Why would someone pick up a stone back then to throw a rock at the I Am? Why? There's only one reason then, there's only one reason now. Do you get it? Because you don't believe he is who he says he is. And there you go. all of humanity will be determined by that single point. Is he I am? And you know what? You get two check boxes in your life. You don't get three, which I loved in school. You get two. You know what you get? Yes or no. Is Jesus I am? Yes? No. Well, you might not know it, but this past week, you've been checking the box. I've been checking the box. My life checks the box. Is Jesus who he says he is? Now, I'm going to get in a few minutes what that specifically can mean day by day. Why would someone pick up a rock? Why would someone use his name as a curse word today? Makes the hair stand on the back of my neck when someone uses his name in vain. Why? Why? Because you don't really know who he is. Why today do people resist the power of the unstoppable power of the I am? Let's go to John 1 verse 14. So the Word, we've already talked about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word became human. Some translations say became flesh. That which created everything in the heavens and on the earth, and that which all power exists through, by, and for. The Word became human and made his home among us. Can I just translate that? He moved into our neighborhood. The Word became human and moved into our neighborhood. That's what he did. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about, John the Baptist." John the Baptist. Listen, I'm trying to make a big point here. He's the one that John the Baptist shouted to the crowds and says, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me." And you and I know that was a 6 month. Jesus comes, was born 6 months after John the Baptist, right? "I shouted to the crowd, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." So anybody heard that though? Ooh, is this a riddle? He came after me, but he existed before me. It's not a riddle. It's a name. I am. John the Baptist announced that there's one that's coming after me. There was a 6 month gap, but he existed long before me. And listen, in the midst of that statement, you know what they did? They killed John the Baptist. They cut his head off. You all know that? Why would they cut John the Baptist's head off? Well, it wasn't just John the Baptist. They killed Peter. And they killed Paul. And the craziest thing of all is they killed the I am too. And you know what? And even when they killed the I am, he is still I am. Do you see the power of that name? That even when they put him in the ground, you know his name didn't become I was. When they put him in the ground, his name remained I am, which means he's ever present. He's not gone. Why? Because of who he is. He cannot be gone. Because if he could ever be gone, that would not be his name. And his name is I am, ever present. Today, I want to do something. I want to have a testimony. I want to join John the Baptist. I just feel like I want to do this. I want to personally acknowledge the words of John the Baptist tonight myself. And here it is. Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am because he existed long before me. And let me explain what that means. Someone is coming after me. I want this to be my testimony. Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am. You notice the words I am in there? Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. And here's what I mean by making that my testimony tonight. When I fall, and one day I will, unless the Lord comes first, when I fall, He, the I Am, will still be standing. I won't be able to say on that day, I am. It won't be happening. When they put me in a box and put that box in the ground, you won't hear anything coming out of the box. I am. I won't be saying it. When I fall, He, the I Am, will still be standing. When you fall, the I Am will still be standing. He is greater than I am, and I used little case on that, lowercase, on purpose. He is greater than I am because I am not the I Am. And what I'm revealing in this context, this is the battle of all mankind, right here. Who is I Am? Me or Him? Who? You know what? I told you, you're checking the box. Yeah, you are, and I am too. Everybody does. This is the battle of all human flesh. Who is and who will be I Am? Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for He existed long before me. I give you my testimony tonight. I'm not embarrassed by this testimony. I am not I Am. I have not always been, but I know one who has. I cannot always be, but I know one who is. And here's the most beautiful part about the three. And because I know the I Am, I now know that I too will always be. But only because I know I'm not I Am. But I know the I Am. There's a whole lot of I Ams in there. If y'all notice that. There is one far greater than me that existed long before me. Forever before me and forever after me. I can fight it. I'm going to tell you, you can fight it. You can live your life in rebellion against this notion, but you will lose. Who could fight against someone who has that name? When I refuse to acknowledge the true I am actually acknowledging by default the false I am. And what started this conversation tonight? Jesus to a bunch of Jewish guys saying, your real father's Satan. And when you refuse to acknowledge Jesus as I am, when you refuse to give Him that title, that authority in your life, you know what you're actually doing? You're taking that title, that authority away from Jesus, and you're giving it to the imposter. You might be thinking you're giving it to you, but you're not really giving it to you. You're giving it to Satan, the other father. And you know what the scary thing is? And the older I get, the more scary it is. Only a few will give authority to the true I Am. Most will give authority to the imposter. And they will lose. And the saddest thing of all is that you knew the truth beforehand, that which could have set you free. There is an imposter tonight. There's an imposter I Am. But I'm not going to give him an uppercase I and A and a M. He's a lowercase guy. There is an imposter I Am, a deceiver I Am. And most people are following him today into the ultimate destruction by connecting their lives to the false I Am. And you might say, how do I connect my life to the false I Am? The moment you refuse to acknowledge Jesus as His real identity, that He is who He says He is, the moment you reject that, you rebel against that, you turn away from that, you shun it, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to deal with it, in that moment, you have elevated the imposter I Am to the original I Am's position. Even if you didn't know it, you just did it. For a man cannot serve two masters. Or you will love one and hate the other. You'll hate one and you'll love the other. But you cannot serve both. No one can serve both. The message of the imposter is what today? What is the message of the imposter? Glorify self instead of God. What does Satan want us to do? Glorify self instead of God. By refusing to call the I am, you are glorifying self, which is actually the deception. Because the deception is when I glorify me, I glorify Satan, the imposter. To follow the imposter is to follow him into destruction. And the sad thing is, you know in advance. So how do I know following the imposter means destruction? The I am told me. Actually, he didn't tell me. He told John to write it down, and John told me. In Revelation 20, verse 1, I can tell you how the imposter I am is going to end up. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to a bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. And he sees the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, Satan. And why would you believe this part if you don't believe the other part? You ever think about it? Because I surely do. If you don't believe that Jesus is the I am, or let's say maybe you did believe Jesus is the I am, but you don't believe this part. He seized the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil, and he bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were over. How's he deceived the nations? By taking your eyes off of the I am and putting you in the I am's place. Afterward, he must be released for a little while. And then I saw thrones, and people sitting on them had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. Here it is. They had not. What? There's a group of people that no matter what, they're not going to bow to the imposter. Even now or in the tribulation to come, they will not bow to this imposter. They're not going to do it. You know why they're not going to do it? Because they know who the I am is. And when you know who the real I am is, you're never going to bow to the imposter. And they had not worshiped the beast. And they're not worshiping his statue, nor accepted his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And what happened because of that? They all came to life again. No, they had died. They had been killed. They died in the great tribulation. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Where's Satan in that 1,000 years? Where's he at? Where's the imposter I am? He's in the bottomless pit. He's in prison. He's not I am. He couldn't possibly use that name because he ain't. That's his name. I ain't. Because he's gone. He's out. He's checked out. So here we go. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Jesus makes the announcement of his name in the Gospel of John, and they began their plans to kill him under the power and the deception of the imposter, I am Satan, the other father. And listen, they did kill him. But they couldn't stop him because you can't stop the I am. The deceivers' plan to stop the I am actually was the very plan to set us free from the lie of the imposter and break the bondage of sin and death. Before he died, Jesus in the Gospel of John announces 7 I am statements that have changed the world. They will be the context of the next 7 weeks. Jesus said, the I am said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate or the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the vine. I don't know about you, but I rejoice in his name tonight. I do. What? In the I am. I want you to leave here with this thought in your mind. I rejoice tonight simply in the name. 2 words, 3 letters. The name. I am. You know what? I rejoice that his name was not, is not, I was. Tonight I'm going to tell you, I am tickled that his name is not I was, though he has always been, right? He's eternal. If you go back, he's always been. He has no beginning. But that's not his name. Nowhere in Scripture does he say, my name is I was. That makes me very happy. I rejoice tonight that his name is not I will be. Though I know he always will be. But that's not his name. It's not his name. I rejoice that his name is I am. You know why? Because he is the God right now, right here, this moment. And I have come to acknowledge this truth. That's when I need him. I always need him right now. Wherever I'm at, whatever my situation, it's right now that I need him. And tomorrow in this right now is when I'll need him again. He is I am. If Jesus is the I am, then I'm sure of one thing. If Jesus is the I am, I can be sure, you can be sure of one thing. I am not the I am. Because you can't be two of us. There's not two I ams. If he's the I am, then I am not. Then and only then do I and will I understand this statement and invitation from Jesus, the I am. Luke 9:23. Then he said to the crowd, he's saying it tonight. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. You know what that means? You can't be the I am anymore. Sorry. You can't do it. If any of you wants to be my followers, you must turn from your self-centered life, your selfish ways, then you must take your cross daily and follow me. You know what that, let me make that real simple. That means you have to surrender the title of I am. It can't be about you anymore. And you have to pick up a cross. And picking up that cross acknowledges his name and his authority. Verse 25, what if I don't? What if I really have gotten attached to this I am thing? I really want I am to be me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose your life. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? You yourself are lost or destroyed. Here's the point for this session and really for the next 11 weeks. Is Jesus who he says he is? I will not answer that question for you, and you will not answer that question for me. I hope I can influence you, and I hope you influence me positively. But in the end, you're going to answer that question, and so am I. Will Jesus do everything he said he would do? If he is I am, isn't it reasonable that when he says I will, he will? If you're having a hard time with the follow me part of Christianity, it's because you don't really know who the me is and follow me. And I can tell you tonight, I am means I will. Is Jesus the I am that announced his name to Moses before Abraham was even born? Before he was ever born? Is Jesus that person? Is he the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the shepherd, the good shepherd, the resurrection, and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, the vine? The last four sessions, I'll tell you in advance, will be session 9, 10, 11, and 12. We'll deal specifically, I've gone through the book of Revelation, and I've pulled out every time that Jesus in Revelation says, I will. And you want to have your eyes open? Figure out when the I am says, I will. Your life will answer these eight questions, and how you answer these eight questions will determine your eternity. The I am has already told us the future. And you know what it is? In here, he said, I will. So I ask this question tonight in closing. Is Jesus who he says he is? Yes. And I have concluded that Jesus will be able to answer any human question with two words, three letters. I dare you this week to go out of here and put your best brain to work and come up with a question, no matter how deep you might want to go, that Jesus could not one day in the future answer with simply stating his name in front of you. Go ahead and try. If you find one, send it to me. Any question you ever want to come up with about the deepest mysteries of life that Jesus will not in the future be able to answer standing in front of you with his name. You ask him a question, he says, I am. You ask him, I am. I am. Just, that's all you got to have. Is he who he says he is? Father, tonight in this place, we acknowledge we are not the I am. You are. Jesus is I am. And Father, we submit to him. We acknowledge his name is his person. It demonstrates his reality and his power and his purpose. So Father, we yield to him. We acknowledge his great power. We refuse to follow the imposter I am, which leads us into selfishness and great loss. So Father, thank you for your word tonight that has revealed to us not only who you are, but what you will do. Now take us out of here, Lord, and use us to reveal your glory through us to those who do not know, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.